Hi, welcome to Indiana Weekend with John Strauss. This is a kind of radio magazine show about the interesting places and intriguing people in our part of the state. We get out of the studio and onto the road to find the kind of radio you don't hear so much anymore. Stories off the beaten path and usually away from the top headlines. So send us a note if you have an idea or just want to say hi. Our email address is indianaweekend@gmail.com. Well, how about last week? Finally warmed up and shoveled out from the coldest foot of snow in 20 years, I think, right? It was so dangerously cold that cities opened up shelters at fire stations and other places. In Muncie, Mayor Dennis Tyler opened up City Hall for folks needing warmth. Local churches donated food and personal care items. The front door at City Hall leads to the Muncie Police Department's front desk. When we stopped by the other day, we met Officer Sherry Barr on the desk and Officer Steve Baugh, who stopped by in the middle of his patrol shift.
What do you guys face when you get a fair amount of snow like this?
A lot of people getting out when they don't necessarily have to. They panic, so they think they have to get to the store.
You've probably worked a lot of snowy nights, right?
Yes.
Tell me about the kind of stuff that happens.
There's an instance here a few years back. There was a gentleman. He was actually living underneath the bridge over on Broadway. Every now and then, if it was cold like this, I'd get him some socks or something like that, or stop in the Subway, get him a sub, just something to eat, make sure he is warm, some coffee or whatever, just, you know, something to help him out.
You get the chance to help somebody when there's nobody else around to help them.
Right. Normally, the only people that are out in conditions like this are emergency personnel. So if someone does need help, we're going to be the ones they flag down and want the help. So,
what's the funniest thing that's ever happened?
I guess the first thing that comes to my mind is I went on a domestic call one day, and it was snowing about like this, and they were doing construction on the house. I got out of the car, acting all tough, ready to take care of the situation, and right underneath the snow, there was a big piece of aluminum. I hit that, and I was on my back. So I ended up making snow angels.
My name is Sherry Barr. I'm a patrol officer with the Muncie City Police Department. I've been on the police department for 23 years now. I just have regular patrol duties every day, and today I happen to be staffing the desk and waiting for folks to come in. As the temperatures fall, you're going to have furnaces that may not kick in. You're going to have people's pipes breaking and bursting.
In your years, and you've been a patrol officer for a long time, but in your years, can you think of a time where, gosh, somebody's walking by the side of the road or in some way or another you had to help people out?
Oh, yeah. I mean, we have a lot of need in the communities, the same as any other communities. You have your homeless folks. You have folks that are just maybe need a little extra assistance, down on their luck a little bit. So we try to help them out as much as we can. Then also we've had a few women that have maybe been living with guys and gotten situations where they need places to go, and we can take them to the YWCA and get them housing there for, you know, a short time period and stuff. So, yeah, those people stick in your mind.
Am I right in guessing that various kinds of problems in society, including domestic abuse, bad weather or this coming year kind of magnifies that somewhat?
Yeah, people get stuck together for long periods of time, and they can't get out. So, yeah, sometimes tempers flare.
How do you handle it? I've heard that's one of the toughest parts of your job. Does it make a difference that you're a woman?
I don't really think it makes a whole lot of difference. You basically have to go in, and each situation is going to be different. And you have to keep a cool head yourself. You have to maintain peace and order and find out what's going on, separate the parties.
Talk to them individually.
Right, make sure everybody's safe. And then you can go on from there and do your law enforcement aspect of it.
Is there anything about this time of year that makes you like the job this time of year? I mean, the easy thing to say, oh, man, this is the worst, right? Traffic and all that kind of stuff. Is there any part of this that's good this time of year?
For me, I'm a summer person. I love the fun.
Well, it's pretty out there. You have to admit that, right?
I'm not seeing any sun right now, and I'm definitely not seeing any warm weather. So I'm praying for that. You know, to me, this is one day closer to spring. So
I really can't
but
stay.
But maybe it's cold outside.
I've got to go
away. Baby, it's cold outside.
Muncie Police Officer Sherry Barr, who was on the front desk at City Hall during part of last week's snowstorm. You also heard from Officer Steve Baugh. Up next, a change of pace, a look at independent bookstores, including a local favorite in Shelbyville, why bookstores aren't dead, the story of the Three Sisters.
So really I'd better
beautiful,
scurry.
Please don't hurry.
Well, maybe just a half a drink more.
Put some records on while I pour.
The neighbors might.
Indiana Weekend, real radio from just down the road. Look for that name on Facebook and drop us a line to let us know what you think. Email us at indianaweekend@gmail.com. Now here's John Strauss.
It's been a good shopping season for independent bookstores. That business has been in trouble. You had the demise of Borders, the rise of the e-books, the impact of the giant Amazon. But there's some hope for the independents in the buy local movement and the folks who still want paper and want to browse in the real world without a screen. A Washington Post trend story last month put it this way in their headline, "Independent bookstores turn a new page on brick and mortar retailing." Indiana has its share of independent bookstores, including Three Sisters Books and Gifts on the town square in Shelbyville. We stopped by and talked with the cheerful Carolyn Statler, one of the sisters, in between customers.
You're a Ball State grad?
Mm-hmm. I am.
Have you been back lately?
I have not been on campus probably in 10 years or so. It's been a while.
What was it like? Oops. What is this?
She's buying.
Oh, that's good. Let
She's
me get out of the way here.
Day, yeah.
what are these children's
Those are puzzles.
Puzzles?
Yeah, children's puzzles.
Mm-hmm. Is that new? I mean, I haven't seen this kind before, but I haven't been shopping for them for a while. Yeah.
It's a company called Melissa and Doug, and they do absolutely beautiful puzzles, wooden toys.
Okay.
You know, kind of really quality stuff.
Which brings to mind, you're a bookstore, but you have a lot of different things here. Any idea how many items you sell?
Oh, golly.
Sorry. Pop quiz.
You can ask Barbara that when
she gets
back.
Yeah. But it's a lot. And so you want to be prepared for somebody who comes in. You have books, you have candles, you have all kinds of gifts.
Right. And especially for the kids, we sell a lot of, you know, puzzles and that kind of thing. You almost have to do that in the bookstore business, particularly for an independent bookseller. You really need sidelines is what we call them. It's a better margin.
How did you get into this business?
Oh, let me think. Well, we had,
it's been 11 years.
It's been 11 years. My sisters and I had talked on and off for years. You know, maybe we'd do something together. Wouldn't it be fun to do that? And Mary Kay, the sister who is not here today, happened to be sitting in the coffee shop right there waiting for a haircut appointment over the other side one day, and this place became available. The gal who owned the building and the shop that was here was giving it up. And by the end of the day, Mary Kay had purchased stuff from her and called me on the phone and said, "We're going to open a bookstore." I said, "Okay." So it happened just, kind of as nonchalantly as that. Of course, after that, there was a lot of, much work to be done. But
was there an occupation or what did you used to do before you became a bookstore
teacher.
Owner?
I taught at Albany College of Pharmacy, which I'm a humanities person, but they do a straight through program. I taught English and literature, writing.
So what a perfect thing to have a bookstore, right?
Yeah.
You love books.
Oh, my goodness, yes.
Well, for a while, we were kind of worried about the future of independent bookstores.
Well, I think there's still cause for concern. But I think there's a place, if we wouldn't all be too greedy about things, then there's a place for everybody to, have a chance to do this. And I think it's really important for a small town to have an opportunity to have something, because we don't, obviously, we're small, so we can't stock a million things, but I can order anything Amazon can get or anything Barnes & Noble can get, I can get in a day or two.
For people who haven't been to Shelbyville in a while, you were right here on the town square. Mm-hmm. What's it like? Is it Mayberry or is it?
Oh, well, I suppose a little bit to the extent, that people know each other and there's always good gossip going over in the coffee shop.
But there's been kind of a movement lately, shop local, buy local.
a very strong movement to do both of those things, and that's been helpful to us. And the other thing that's been helpful is longevity. You know, the longer we're here, the better it is in terms of sales and so forth.
And you kind of expanded, right? You started out as a bookstore, and then a few years later, you got the coffee shop next door.
Right. That's true.
Were two very tough businesses to make it, right?
Yeah. You make this not sound very smart.
No.
Which it wasn't. I mean, in terms of if we thought we were going to be rich someday soon, we had no such illusions from the get-go.
Your business has been helped by the enormous success of, say, the Harry Potter series. There's a new Hunger Games.
Oh, there's not a new one.
Oh,
no.
The movie is new,
but the books have been out for a while.
So you just had a customer ordering a book, right?
Right, right. The distributors have been out of stock. The publisher's out of stock on the third book of the series. So we'll get it when we can get it.
Yeah. So there's a tide that comes and goes when there's a lot of excitement in the movie theaters, that sort of thing?
That helps. Absolutely, that helps. Yeah.
What's your pick of the season? Is there something that's come on strong this season?
Well, suddenly, Mitch Albom's book has.
I mean, there's a new winner.
Yeah, Phone Call from Heaven, the first phone call from heaven. So that's kind of suddenly caught on. I'm not sure whether people have been reading about it or what. You know, the usual standbys of, you know, mystery writers and so forth that folks enjoy.
Do we have any Indiana writers who have been successful? How's John Green doing?
John Green always does well. The kids really like his books, and as an adult, I love them too. I think he's a great writer and creates, you know, interesting and sympathetic characters, and so we really like John Green's books.
Is the young adult category pretty strong still?
It is. There's just so much good literature coming, I think, in the young adult category, which is, I think, is wonderful. I mean, kids deserve really good literature. And we encourage our adult customers on many of those that, you know, they will enjoy just as much, you know, despite the fact that central characters may be teenagers or young adults. If the storyline is good, I mean, we've all been there, so we can still sort of remember what it was like.
Well, you have a beautiful store here, though.
Well, thank
you. Mean, did you put in all these bookshelves? And
Yeah. We did. We had those custom made, and I think that has paid off because people are astonished that, you know, we don't just have shelves. I mean, we have...
Right.
Very attractive.
That's right. It reminds you of someone's private library.
Yeah, it does a little bit, yeah.
So what's new in this business that's in the 11 years that you've been doing this? What's come along? What's different now than before? I would imagine the online competition has increased.
It's stiffer. That's true. And, of course, e-books. You know, e-readers and e-books. But I still think there's a place, you know, for...
Books are kind of our friends, right?
We
kind of have an emotional attachment.
And I think it's harder to get attached to something on a Kindle than it is to have an actual physical book in your hand. And there are still an awful lot of people that, you know, may use the Kindle for travel or, you know, when they need it in that sort of circumstance. But they still like the feel of the physical book in their hands.
Now, do you have any book clubs or any?
We have one book club that we have, which meets once a month and has, probably anywhere from 10 to 15 people who come to that. And we have one, two, maybe three or four others that meet here because it's a, you know, they can get coffee or some of them meet at noon and have lunch. And
wait, here comes a customer.
You're ready.
You're ready.
Ready for my damage.
Okay.
If they asked me, I could write a book about the way you walk.
Carolyn Statler, who runs Three Sisters Books and Gifts in Shelbyville with her sisters Mary Kay and Barbara. The trade publisher Shelf Awareness, which follows the book industry, says most of the independents that it surveyed had improved sales over last year. No blockbusters were reported, but top sellers include books like The Goldfinch by Donna Tartt and The Bully Pulpit by Doris Kearns Goodwin.
This is Indiana Weekend with John Strauss on Indiana Public Radio.
That I love you.
The nation's bookstores have had a tough few years. The demise of Borders, the rise of tablets and e-books. But some independent bookstores are holding their own. Some even reported stronger sales this holiday season. They even got a trend story in the Washington Post about the resurgence of independent stores. The American Booksellers Association is the trade group for independent bookstores and says its membership is growing again. 6 years ago, the group hit a low of 1,600 stores. They now count more than 2,000 independent bookstores across the country, and sales were up 8% last year. Three Sisters Books and Gifts in Shelbyville is one of the stores that is thriving, with a mix of good customer service and the addition of gifts and even a coffee shop. Barbara Rogers is one of the sisters.
Book selling is a lot different than other kinds of retail, I think.
There's book selling school.
There is book selling school. They teach you all kinds of things, and really, you know, none of us had had a lot of retail experience, but we knew what we wanted. We wanted to have a comfortable environment, inviting, where there could be conversation and discussion, and we seem to have that with, you know, with a coffee shop, and people gravitate here, buy books, buy coffee, so we hope it's a positive part of the community.
It sounds as if you try to do more than just sell the merchandise. You get to know the customers somewhat.
I think that's true. I think we know, you know, hopefully, if our memories are okay that day, we can call them by name when they walk in and try to remember what they like and what they don't like. So we hope customer service is why they would come here.
What's Shelbyville like for people who haven't been here?
Small town. I'll never forget Mayor Ferguson, who was mayor just prior to our current mayor, said, someone asked him about small town. He said, well, the good thing about a small town is that you know everyone, and the bad thing about a small town is that you know everyone. But I think it's, you know, it's a good environment for our bookstore. We're involved not only here, but we're involved in the community. We do an all community reads program with the library. They're our best friends as well. We support other local businesses. We try to do some events together. Started doing a First Friday here on our end of the circle with the other couple of art gallery next door. So, you know, we're trying to do some things, and we'll encourage people to come down, shop, eat, have the whole experience.
Is downtown relatively healthy here? I mean, it looks pretty good. It looks better than in some places.
I think that's true. I'm also on the board of Main Street Shelbyville, and we've been doing a facade grant program. So, you know, we're trying to do a lot of making it look better, and then doing some incentives to people that are new businesses, trying to, with some renovation grants, to try inside renovation grants to help get some new blood down here as well.
What do you need in downtown Shelbyville?
Customers. we need...
Well, sometimes a hardware store would be good, yeah. For instance. Or...
I think, you know, people are looking for unique. I think when they come to a downtown like Shelbyville, they don't want to see the same things they see in the mall or anywhere else. So any kind of gift shops... with unique items. We're fortunate to have 18 on the Square and Tour of Italy, two nice restaurants that people can eat. So, you know, we just need to keep the momentum, and we need to have enough density of shops that there's places for people to go when they come here and not just end up at the bookstore and the coffee shop, but several places throughout the community.
What did you do before you got into this business?
I worked for this many years, worked for the city of Indianapolis in the Department of Metropolitan Development, so I've kind of had development for a long time.
You're the right person, then. For some people, owning a bookstore is a dream. Some people who are book lovers, this is what they would like to do. Was it that way with you? Is this something you always dreamed about doing?
I think it was more doing something together as sisters. Carolyn Mabry, I told you this, but our mother was an avid reader, and after she died, we had a little bit of money left from her estate, and so we made a decision that we were going to put that money towards the bookstore, and knowing that we might never see it again, but that was a decision that we had made, and kind of knowing how important reading was to her and to all of us. But this,
what's it like, three sisters running a business together?
For the most part, we always get along, but we have our moments, as all sisters do. But you know, everybody says I couldn't work with my sister, and that's not true. We have our niche, things we do and take care of, and it's like, if it's a money issue, Mary Kay takes care of it, and technology is sort of my thing, and Carolyn does most of the book ordering, but we all share all the responsibilities.
What was something that you had to decide together? You had to figure out, okay.
I suppose the thing we've had to grapple with is the e-readers and e-books and how to incorporate that, and that's still an issue that's ongoing. We've stocked some e-readers, don't sell them too much. People don't expect really to find them here. We do have an avenue to sell e-books for several platforms, and so trying to figure out how to get that word out and so that people can say, oh, I've got an iPad and I want to download books, and telling people how they can do that.
What's a trend in the bookstore business? Do you keep up with what's going on elsewhere?
I think the biggest thing that we've seen in the last 10 years is the advent of the young adult book that is well written, read by many more people than young adult. Hunger Games is a good example, a big crossover title.
Those books have been out for a while, but they're getting new life
with the movie. So a lot of I see a lot of people reading the young adult because they're a lot better. There's a lot of good authors doing young adult titles and taking on some tough subjects. So sometimes, you know, grandma and grandpa, mom and dad might be like, are you sure I should have my child read this? But it's stuff they're dealing with every day at school. And
it makes a difference that you're here locally, that somebody can come in and they can ask a question about that. They can say, hey, I've heard about this, but...
Yeah, and, you know, we just say, here's what it is. You know, there might be some language issues or there might be some other things that you're you might be uncomfortable with. You know, you might want to read it. You might want to read it with your child. You know what's in it. You might decide that's not appropriate. But, you know, we try to help them, guide them to a choice they're comfortable with.
Paperback writer.
Barbara Rogers, one of the three sisters from Three Sisters Books and Gifts in Shelbyville. Independent bookstores have been making something of a comeback in the face of competition from e-books and online retailers. Part of what they offer is the personal touch when it comes to picking books and the creation of a community of friends and readers. In the case of Three Sisters, they also have gifts and a coffee shop, what I guess an economist might call horizontal integration. That's our show for today. I'm John Strauss. Big thanks to our producer, Marcus Jackman. Glad you could join us this time and hope you'll stay in touch. Drop us a note with your favorite local place or your ideas for this winter at indianaweekend@gmail.com. In the meantime, thanks and have a great week. Until we meet again on the next Indiana Weekend on Indiana Public Radio, I'm John Strauss.
Indiana Weekend with host John Strauss of the Ball State Journalism Department. Our show is engineered at Indiana Public Radio, produced by Marcus Jackman. Major support for Indiana Weekend comes from Dillman's Furniture, Muncie, serving East Central Indiana with home furnishings from Flex Steel, Bassett, and Simmons Beautyrest. Join us again next week for Indiana Weekend with John Strauss here on Indiana Public Radio.